Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. For this July 17th, 2023, 306 on the dock. On the dot. On the docket, I was going to say. But docket doesn't make sense, Randy.
Sounds good to me.
Your host, James J. here behind the mic. Thanks for joining me, everybody. I got Randy Paul, my partner in sports, with us. Randy, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and we both said good afternoon, so we're getting better.
We're getting better. We're getting better at this.
It took us a month or so.
Not bad. It only took about a month. I have to, real quickly, because I said the date, and I can't help myself, Randy, I want to one more time send a happy birthday out to my youngest, Isabel. Happy birthday, Isabel.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, it just feels good. And she's the youngest, so, you know, you got to get him in there when you can.
And I have to say the same to my grandson, who is going to be ready, 21 tomorrow.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, so mine's turning 23.
Oh.
So, and I'm so spoiled with this. She was born in 2000, so, I mean, it's very easy for
sure.
me to remember how old your kid is. The other one, 99. The other, 96. So, I mean, it's very easy for me with the numbers. We want your phone. We want you to call, play some numbers. Call us up, 424-2600. Join the conversation. We're here to talk some sports with you. As long as it is sports related, we will talk about it. Water polo championships. Randy and I may not know a lot about it, but we will talk with you about it. We'll do our best. We'll try. Randy's got some local stuff for us involving our local teams here in just a little bit. We'll get to. I want to talk about the Pro Football Hall of Fame semifinalists. They announced that. Drew Holiday got an award we want to talk about. Barry Bonds thinks Barry Bonds belongs in the Hall of Fame. All those things coming up. And as we usually do, we'll get to Rafters news to usually kick things off, Randy. But I've always been the kind of kid, when I got home from school on Friday, I got my homework done so I could play all weekend. If you tell me I have good news and bad news, give me the bad news and wrap up on the good. I'm that kind of person. And I had over the weekend a couple of interesting emails. One individual asking me, telling me that I was... I want to get this right. That I am part of the cause of the reason of, I don't know how many times you could throw of in there, of the end of college football.
I've been saying that for years.
Thankfully somebody's listening. First off, I mean, I didn't know I had that kind of power. Thank you. I feel like you're really overestimating my the reach of this show, but all right, that's fine. And also, I find it interesting that, you know, people weren't saying anything and nothing when universities, coaches, donors, sponsors were making money. But now the players are making money. Now, all of a sudden, the sky is falling. Cats are marrying dogs. The whole world is over. But I want to start sort of right there in college football and the landscape of that. With Northwestern, because I got another email with somebody giving me a hard time that I hadn't mentioned, I hadn't talked about the Northwestern situation since Monday. To that person, I responded, well, our sports show is only on one day a week, and sports don't stop for our show. We kind of, you know, and I don't like to treat our other shows. Well, I do ramble and make sports references and metaphors all the darn time because my brain is just bad. I don't like to ramble about something that isn't sports related on a non-sports related show. So I was, in all honesty, I wanted some of this, the dust to settle on this. I wanted to talk to my mom, who that's her school. I wanted to talk to some other grads of the university. I even reached out to some former players that we have mutual connections. I don't know, but they have, you know, my friends know. And then the news broke this morning that 8 former Northwestern football players have retained noted civil rights attorney Ben Crump and a Chicago-based law firm to pursue legal action against the school for hazing incidents that took place within the program. It's hard to talk about because we're in the, especially in the Midwest, but even beyond here, we're homers on our teams. And I've, you know, between Northern Illinois University and Northwestern, those have always been my teams. And that's my mom's school. And so, you know, you got a guy like Pat Fitzgerald. He's the thing that we, you know, on the surface, he was the thing that we liked about college football. Man, here's a local guy, got the job when Northwestern's previous coach dies suddenly, and he takes over the gig at the last minute, and he's not bad at it. He's okay at this. And we get to see him rise in this and become a legend in that state when it comes to football. Where it's tough to become a legend. I know it's been a long time since Chicago's been good at football, but we got a good history, you know, for our older listeners out there. They might remember those things and stuff. We actually will talk a little bit about that older history with Virginia McCaskey later, but It's tough. I'm not going to get past that. But it's a lot tougher for these students. It's a heck of a lot tougher for them. So you hopefully can take a perspective from this of there's certain things about this that I think stand out, that I think need to be noted. First off, you should read up on the issue and the situation if you don't haven't already. I'm guessing if you're listening to a sports show, you know all about it already. I'm not going to waste 5 minutes that we only have 50-some minutes of the show talking about all the details. But you need to. It's important. One thing real quick. Well, when I was in football, they did this. No, stop. Stop right there. We used to drown women because we thought they were witches, just to find out. Okay, there's a lot of stuff we used to do that we learned not to do anymore. So miss me with that. Forget all that. There's another part of this too, where personally to Coach Fitzgerald, where he has come out and said that he did not know about certain things, if not all of this. And I find that, for one, insane to believe. Just insane to believe. But also, you don't get credit for winning if you don't take credit for this as well. If you don't own this as well. Because any good player in any sport from high school on up will tell you what happens when the quarterback throws the winning touchdown and you put the microphone in his face. The good ones always say the same old thing. Well, it takes a whole team and it takes all of us to do this and everything. It takes a village. It takes everybody on that stuff. It takes everybody on this too, coach. Everybody. Former coach. It takes everybody on that. So you don't get to slide on those things. You also... Like, where are we in existence where in the 2000s, let alone in the aughts and the teens, where you have a head football coach that gets away with being able to tell players how they can look, how black players can't have long hair, but white players can, how some players get privilege and others don't. Now, I understand that's sports. But I thought we got better than that. I remember that was like how it was in high school, okay? But I thought we got better than that as a society. And that there is absolutely no accountability from not only him, but from the AD. And I know the AD is new there, but from the previous AD and even the current AD, I'm not hearing the accountability I need to hear here. I'm not hearing any of that. So to the people that thought I was going to come on the air and try to like glance over this or not even talk about it, I'm more angry than most. I was abused as a kid. I did go through sexual abuse at the age of 7. I'm not going to slide on this stuff. I don't care if my own family were boosters for this school, I wouldn't be shutting up about it. If anything, I would hope that if you're a fan of the university, you would want me to talk like this. You would want accountability. I worry about the people that only want to hear rosy and sunshine about their teams, about their state, or about anything involving something that matters to them. Part of the reason I boast that I am a very good American, that I'm a proud American, is because I hold this country accountable. That's love to me. My dad holds me accountable. I know my dad loves me because my whole life has not been, Jimmy, everything you do is great. You're the handsomest guy in the world. Jimmy, all this, blah, blah, blah. No, not my dad. No, my father, he will praise me. He will give me credit for things, and he will knock my block off. He will tell me certain things like nobody else will. I know he loves me because of that. That's how I feel about this country. That's how I feel about that university. I love that for university. I'm always going to root for that university, but I can root for the university and hold it accountable. And it ain't right what happened there. There is a changing of the guard happening in a lot of levels, including in football, that if you aren't on board for, you're going to get run over. The future doesn't stop for anybody. Time only goes one direction. You're not putting the genie back in the bottle. You're not going to have hazing as a cool or fun thing again. They got rid of it with most every organization, and they certainly got rid of it on the college campuses as far as your cum laude and a lot of these. I don't know. I never keep track of those names of all those things, but any of that stuff, they got rid of it. Well, yeah, you got to get rid of it in sports too. The Chicago Blackhawks found out about this as well in a much different way. So, I mean, to me, this is – I actually think that this is a silver lining moment if you are a fan of Big Ten football and of just Northwestern football or anything like that. For one, if you're a fan of Big Ten football, you want all the teams to be somewhat good at least. It only brings your schools up, all of them. But also, like, this is what he was getting away with a barely above average, you know, coaching resume. Are we certain that, you know, I'm not saying that Northwestern is going to be any better than Maryland in the Big Ten when it comes to football or anything, but I'd like to see if we could try. I'd like to see a different coach come in there and not be a guy who's him, who was just a guy who was very set in his ways, and it was never going to advance. If none of this comes out, and Fitzgerald's the coach there for another 10 years, Northwestern is probably not much better. Bring somebody new in who actually has looked at offenses in the 2000s and maybe actually might be a better coach, might actually be able to do something with this. I think that this is a very good thing on a lot of levels, on a humane level, most importantly, but also if you're a fan of football and just wear a sports show, strip it down, look at it that way. I think you got to be happy about this. Some of this is rough. There's no getting past that, but nothing is rougher than what these players went through. And I hope that people have that perspective.
It's so difficult, right? Because we were not the ones who were involved in the situation. Mm-hmm. So we are the ones looking in from the outside. And there's always two sides to every story, right?
Yep.
And just the truth be told, people lie nowadays, right?
Right.
So which side is lying? Are they both lying? Mm-hmm. Are they both telling the truth? That's always a difficult thing to determine if you are not the one in the situation. So, and there's so many things, because we are so far removed from it, to know what's true and what's not.
Yeah.
That I think that's the kind of the beauty of our system, that it's going to take a while to unfold, and hopefully the truth comes out, and all of the stories that are being presented right now, we find out are true or false either way.
Right.
Because we want to know the real story. Such a difficult situation, though, right? I mean,
it is.
No matter what situation you're in, you know, did the head coach not know about this? You know, I think of it like from a teacher's perspective, because the number of years.
Yeah.
A lot of things happen, people don't tell us. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they come back and say, didn't you know that? And you're like, no, not a single person told me.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. And so to think that I knew everything that happened in my classroom or in the school, it's just not true. Now, did he know? I don't know. I'm not him. I'm not there. I think maybe that'll come out. Maybe some, you know, mm-hmm. people will find that out to be true. So, yeah, that'll make for some interesting. This is not done. This is far from removed, right?
This story is not going away.
Right.
No, we haven't even gotten into the college football season
right.
yet, you know? And this story is definitely not going away. Very similar to Barry Bonds is not going away. That was my segue, everybody. You can bet Barry Bonds is salty about being denied entry into the Baseball Hall of Fame and everything. He said, quote, recently, sure, it bothers me, but at the same time, I also know who I am. And the thing is that people have to understand I was vindicated. I went to the court. I was in federal court. I won my case 100%. Where is the vindication of me in my own sport? That's what bothers me. He then added, I belong with my teammates in the Hall of Fame 100%. So I wanted to go to this story after that story because I see a parallel here of people and the first power living in a bubble and the lack of accountability. I genuinely think Pete Rose may have had an opportunity to get into the Hall of Fame if early on in his life, because his story breaks, late 70s, 80s? He owns it. He falls on the sword. You know what? I did. I messed up. I know better. I shouldn't have done this. I'm sorry. If he does that, I wonder if what the opportunity is in the late 90s, early 2000s, if he gets into the Hall of Fame. I ain't saying it happens within a decade even, but within time, time heals all wounds, if maybe he gets in. I wonder that not nearly as much. It's a very different scenario, but I wonder it a little bit with some of the steroid guys. I do wonder if – they had owned certain things. Because like Jose Canseco ain't getting in, you know, and he owned things. He was the whistleblower, as it turns out, in this stuff. Boy, doesn't that one just seem weird? No matter how many times you think about it, no matter how much time goes by, that Jose Canseco was right will never seem certainly. I'll never feel good saying that. The guy with the ball bouncing off his head in the outfield for the Rangers, it just doesn't feel right. But I think just a little bit of accountability may go a long way. And maybe it doesn't get you into the Hall of Fame, but maybe the Giants welcome you back and they put you in their ring. And you know, maybe certain things. And you at least build something back. I'm curious about that. I'm curious what out there people think. I'm curious if you guys think that he belongs in the Hall of Fame. Does Pete Rose belong in the Hall of Fame? I'm always open to that question. I know it's old sports talk questions, but I'm always open to talking about that because it's always interesting, I think, this time of year especially. 424-2600.
That, you know, those I don't ponder it a lot, you know.
Yeah.
I crosses my mind if somebody brings it up like you did. I don't know. I guess with their accomplishments, are they tainted? You know, Pete Rose's accomplishments weren't because of his betting on the game.
This is where a huge, gigantic difference takes
place. There's the chasm, right? Where Barry Bonds, you know, it's with the steroid whole issue there. So I think that makes a difference between the two, right there.
You know, the thing that stands out to me, too, because I always remember my buddy Chris when this first started coming out and everything, and the news broke about Bonds and all this, and they're showing the pictures of Barry in Pittsburgh and Barry in San Francisco and a lot of all that kind of stuff. He says to me, well, the pitchers were probably taking it, too. You know, and so if let's just say that happened, like every home run Barry Bonds hit after he started taking steroids, he hit it off a guy who was taking steroids as well. Well, that doesn't, two wrongs don't make a right, you know, but at the same time, I get where Chris was going with it. I understand his point. But that being said, I don't think our issue is so much with that stuff as it is with you didn't need to. Like, they got a lot of these guys, they will tell you that they took this because they were able to heal quicker, get on the diamond faster, and all that. And I get that. I understand that part of it. But that doesn't win you the argument. That doesn't, well, Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before steroids. Sure, but he still took them. like you don't get the chance. Like, we can't put Barry Bonds is in the Hall of Fame, but only until 1989. Yeah. Like, after that, the rest of his records doesn't, you don't get to do that.
And you'd probably have people arguing that he wasn't a Hall of Famer before, right?
Yeah,
so there you got that argument coming in, too.
And there were plenty of guys that we have all the proof in the world that didn't do it and still put up Hall of Fame numbers on guys who were using it. You look at it, what a Griffey was able to do, what some of these guys were able to do, hitting off of guys that were using. Do we know for certain that one so-and-so wasn't or was? No, we're never going to know. But I'll take it on with my eyeballs, what I can see, and see that Ken Griffey Jr. probably would have been better suited to take steroids because he probably would have been on the field a lot more. The only crux to Ken Griffey Jr.'s career, without him, the only thing that holds him back from being considered the greatest player possibly of all time is he wasn't healthy enough. He didn't play. He just wasn't able to get out there enough. Barry Bonds had never said it about because Barry Bonds was doing this and was able to get on the diamond faster. There's a lot of that. Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on the show. Good afternoon.
Yeah, this is odd time for me, but anyways, since you're talking sports, I'll talk a little bit about the Brewers if I can.
Yeah.
I watched a lot, many of the spring training games because I'm retired and I can do that. But anyways, I'm so happy to see a lot of these second and third stringers that get a chance to play.
Yeah,
because of all the injuries we had.
Mm-hmm.
Abner Uribe is pretty good, over 100 miles an hour. I saw him make his first two strikeouts this season.
Nice.
They kept the ball. I was really happy to see Owen Miller make the team. He's from Begonia, so it's about 20 miles away from Milwaukee.
Big fan of Mr. Miller, yeah.
Yeah. And also Brian Anderson, the other Brian Anderson. Both of these guys are a lot better than I really thought they would be, both of them. Anderson's got a great arm and plays good third base and good outfield there.
I remember you calling us after, maybe it was in the middle of spring training, but you said something about Miller, though. You said that you liked his arm. You were talking about it a little bit. You might have been early on this one.
Yeah, Owen's pretty good, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was surprised he made the team. And I'm so happy because he was, for a while there in June, he was getting like every game he was getting a hit or so.
Yeah. I this is one of my favorite parts about sports, but especially about baseball, with it being the longest of all the seasons, is getting to see these guys. It's when I was a kid, I loved preseason football because I saw all these college players that I loved, and I knew I probably wasn't going to see a lot of them, you know, like a Garrett Wolf. Garrett Wolf may have been my favorite college football player of all time. I loved watching Garrett Wolf. I got to see him live in person and stuff. And you get to see him play preseason games and then kind of realize pretty quickly that Garrett Wolf is probably not going to have a look. But you get to see him. With baseball, with so many injuries, and this is even the case when we were kids and everything, you have injuries, you have guys get pulled up right away. And before you know it, a guy's flying across the country to come play a game in an hour. I love that about baseball and getting to see a lot of these guys that we know, you know, wouldn't get to see in other sports, maybe.
You know, speaking of Owen Miller, they had a kind of an interesting comment on television the other night. Maybe you heard it as well. They said, who would have thought that the Brewers would be in first place after the All-Star break with Owen Miller as their number four hitter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an interesting comment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know what else? I also thought what they did was interesting was, I don't know if you saw this, but the Reds are the first team in 130 years to have zero runs and less than eight hits in a three-game span. And the Brewers did that to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting.
They knocked them right out of first and took over that spot right now. I hope we keep on going. I think we're for real. I think with our bullpen and all that, we're for real.
Yeah, I like that A bullpen, right, where you just go with Pierre Piamps and finish it up with Williams. That's pretty tough.
Yeah, we got the trade coming up at the end, first of August. So I'm pretty sure the Brewers are going to make some move that they'll buy somebody to help them out. I'm sure they're not going to be trading. They're not going to be selling anybody. That's for sure.
This is how good our listeners are, Randy. So I wanted to get to this after your moment. We're talking local sports. Our listeners get right on this. That's my big question to everybody right now with these Brewers, with these because everybody was coming into the All-Star break, and during the All-Star break, you heard everybody talking heads saying, well, we're going to find out what the Brewers are made of going up against the Reds in Atlanta here in these first six, you know, some odd games coming out of the All-Star break.
And Philly,
yeah. So far, so good. Like, I would feel pretty darn good no matter what happens with Atlanta and Philly. You just did this to one of the hottest teams in baseball, if not the most hottest team in baseball. And I mean that mostly hitting, not even pitching. So shutting down that batting with those pitchers. And you don't even have Woodruff in the lineup yet.
Right, so, yeah. We got two or three guys are going to come up the IR at the right time.
I got to think that what you're saying there, sir. If I'm buying stock right now, I'm buying stock in the Brewers. I would like to see them be buyers at the trade deadline. I'm wondering if I'm alone on that. It sounds like you might be.
And how about this? Not a lot of people talked about this, but Saturday's game should have been a no hitter. It was strike three. With the entire ball was in the box, and he called it a ball. That would have been strike three, and that guy, two pitches later, got a hit. They would have had a combined no-hitter.
A broken bat hit, even, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We got to get to a break.
But I'm very excited about the rest of the season for the Brewers, right?
So it sounds like you're a buyer at the trade deadline. You're the GM. Yeah. You're buying.
Well, I'm not going to give away Louis or whatever.
Not giving anybody away. You just got these kids. You just got them. They just called up.
We got some minor leaguers that are pretty good that are worth to somebody.
I have one caveat for you. If you were able to get a nice piece back for the Yelich contract, would you do it? Because I'm a little curious about that.
Because he's back to his form. He's one of the hottest hitters out there. And I wouldn't give anything for that Japanese kid, whatever. I don't even want him on my team.
Oh, Otani?
Oh, no, I don't even want him.
No? Really?
No.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call. We got to get to break, sir. Always good to talk to you. Have a good day. Thank you for the calls, everybody. 424-2600. Keep those calls coming. We would love to hear more from you. And we'll talk more baseball probably. We'll talk some Rafters when we get back. Randy's got some local notes for you. All that coming up right here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Post Printing, getting your words out, sponsoring the show. Randy and James here with you, and you're a guest on the show, you're a producer on the show. We want to hear from you. 424-2600. Call up and join the conversation with all your sports thoughts and feelings. Randy's got some local stuff for us. What do you got, Randy?
We've been talking maybe about the last 3 weeks or so about the Legion team here in town.
Yeah.
And how Court Helber and his staff have done a wonderful job with them. Well, they just wrapped up the regular season last week with four W's. Monday at home, they rallied for three runs in the final inning to top DC Everest, 4-3. On Tuesday at Merrill, they got four in the second, two in the eighth, and two in the ninth, and they ran away from Merrill 9-1. On Thursday at home, it was 9-1 after the third on their way to a 10-1 win. And then the final two games of the year was a doubleheader on Saturday at home against De Pere, and they took two, so they actually took three from the Redbirds this year. In the first game, they had six in the sixth inning, and that was all the scoring they needed. It was 6-3. Yeah. And then in the nightcap, four in the first, five in the fourth, they won in that game 10-5. So they end up 22-2. It might be the best-kept secret in all of Wisconsin Rapids, right, in the local area? Isn't that crazy? Yeah. The postseason starts on Wednesday at 1 p.m. in the afternoon with the regionals. It'll be at Memorial Park in Plover. They'll be taking on Stevens Point, so that should be a good one. And if you got some time on Wednesday afternoon, head on over to Point and take in a fun Rangers game, Legion Club.
Really happy for them. They've had a great season.
Yeah.
And it's good for especially, you know, with at this level, whether we're talking Northwoods League or we're talking about this league, these players, I don't know how you can't root for these guys and these all these kids, not just them, but the coaches, the trainers, all these people that are working to hopefully either, for one, I think that we get caught up in, we're getting called to the big leagues or getting their big break. And certainly that is on their minds and something that they want. But I noticed something this year that I haven't in previous years with baseball. Most years, almost every year, you see a guy come up, you know, he's in his late or mid-30s. He's been in the minors his whole career, and this is his first major league at-bat. And we all love it. We love the story and everything. I noticed something this year with some of the guys. I think it was the guy in Pittsburgh that they called up, and I apologize for not remembering his name. I'm sorry, I don't. That they were talking to him, and he was talking about it, and there was something in his voice that I heard. Yeah, he was really happy to do this, and his parents were there, and that was really cool. But for him, it was not only one step of this, the acknowledgement that, okay, that I was right. I was right to see this through. I have made a living at this. But the ability to just continue to do it, even if it is at a AAA or a AA level, like just to continue to do it. Yeah, you ain't making millions and millions of dollars. You know who else isn't? Randy and I. You know, we're in an industry that we knew going into we were not going to be Rockefellers doing, you know, but we love what we do, and we get right to a point in our careers where I get to make a living doing this, I can make a living teaching, I can make a living doing this or whatever. Most actors I know are not trying to be Johnny Depp. They're trying to be, you know, so-and-so. The guy that you don't know, I know his face, and he always does good work, but I don't know his name. Who is that? You know, remind me to look in the credits who that guy is. Like, that's what most of us want. We get to make a living doing what we love to do, and that's about it. And when that comes to these leagues, I think of the same thing. They're the same group. It's so happy for them, and thank you very much for the update. That's pretty cool to hear.
Yeah, the cool thing about that, a couple of things. First of all, is that, you know, with this Legion Club, you know, I got all the area schools that combine together to make these teams. That's kind of fun because now these kids who maybe competed against each other, maybe didn't, now they're together on the same team, but they knew each other, right? You grow up in this town, you know each other, you know who the ball players are. So that's such a fun thing for them as well. That's got to be exciting. So you talk about excitement for players, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about excitement for coaches and staffs. I mean, just to see that happen and to have such a season as they did, that makes for so much fun as well. And then you talk about the next level, what we think of college and the rafters, right?
Right.
And, you know, as disappointing as it is when the rafters lose, we keep it all in perspective, right? Because they're our boys, aren't they, right?
Yes,
right? It's our rafters, isn't it? It's just like us Wisconsinites, it's our Packers, right? We, right?
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so to see some of them go on, and to actually take it to the next level, then we almost you know, the buttons popping off the shirt.
Oh, yeah.
We feel proud for them, too.
Yeah, yeah, the chest pops up. Oh, yeah.
They were in the Northwoods League, right?
Yes.
And you're happy for their success, right? Mm-hmm. And you think about all those players, like you were just mentioning, it just brought it back to mind, you know, the guys that maybe don't make the major leagues till they're 30, 31, or maybe never make it. Mm-hmm. Think of what they put up with, though, right? I mean, they're traveling on buses, you know, they're living from city to city out of a suitcase. They talk about the major leaguers going on a road trip and living out of a suitcase. Yeah, but what are they flying in and where are they staying, you know, and what are their meals like? And it's so much different. So kudos to all of those people as well.
Growing up, I used to really admire stand-up comedians, and I used to think, oh man, if I had a funny bone, that would be the gig. That may even be more the gig to me than acting, you know, what would be doing something like that. It seems so cool. And when I'm living out in California, my roommate at the time, Will, he was a stand-up comedian, has a good, you know, resume. He's got some good standing and stuff, and he travels a lot, but most of it is just out west. And I would spend nights closing bars with him at the end of a set and talking to other comedians. And they talk about this stuff and how hard that gig is. The travel. You're never in the same zip code 2 days in a row. It's not something that every job and everybody's got something. Oh, you think that's bad? Let me say so. We all know that. But I think it's just a little empathy of the gig and understanding, you know, that, oh, this person must really love to do this if they're doing that. I don't think it's a matter of my job's tougher than yours. It's just, all of our jobs are tough. I mean, we all got tough gigs, tough lives. It's just a little empathy. Oh, you have this? Well, let me tell you that. It's a little more of a sharing scars, and like we used to do, you know, as kids and everything. Oh, you had that happen? Let me show you this one.
Well, you know, it's funny to tell a joke, but can you imagine a couple of jokes? Or imagine doing an hour and a half set where they go and they perform it, and you got to have new material?
Yeah. Not to mention, of all the things that are tough to do, comedy is, to me, one of the most difficult. I would put telling a joke nowadays and not offending anybody, but also being like a little edgy. Like, I'll put that up there with hitting a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. Not maybe a 99, but a 90-mile-an-hour fastball at least. Like, that's up there with that.
And you're just standing up there all by yourself. Nobody's reacting. Wow.
The Rafters dropped their third. The Rafters were a little bit of a joke the last couple of days. Not really. I'm just using that as a tie and a segue. But the Rafters did drop their third game in the past four and go to 7-7 in the second half. The Rats have a much-deserved off day today. They're going to be back at the Diamond tomorrow, taking on the Mallards. We'll be at home for this one. Got a nice game. Nice day, it looks like, weather-wise. And tomorrow will be Wisconsin Rapids Visitors Bureau presenting Wisconsin Rapids Sports Night. Come out and talk to all the local sports organizations in our area. They may even come with some giveaways. You never know. So if you can, we always encourage you to get to the ballpark and get to Winterfield if you can. But tomorrow going to be a special night at Winterfield.
And then Wednesday they'll be at Madison, and then Thursday and Friday back home. So three out of four will be back home, see if we get a little home cooking for them, right?
Got the All-Star break coming up for the Northwoods League, and that traditionally is a time to reset and kind of get things right that aren't going well.
And what I always find unique about that is, you know, like the All-Star break, it's the end of the first half for major leagues, and then the second half starts, not in the Northwoods League. Mm-hmm. They're in the second half already.
Yeah.
And then they take the All-Star break.
Which is kind of nice for these players because they play so much and they just got done playing so much, especially a lot of the good ones that were in the College World Series. Like, I don't know if any of these kids have even had a chance to breathe, you know, let alone, you know, let some injuries or some aches and pains heal up a little bit.
Seems like we talk about this every year. Like, the Rafters are only off about 5 days in the entire summer, you know, in this league. So
it's incredible. It's
I bet they're really enjoying today.
And we're going to enjoy not only the rest of this season, but hopefully a playoff push. They've got a good opportunity for that. We'll see how this goes.
Yeah, overall, they're in second place, just a half game behind the Chucks. So.
Yeah. These games, every one of these games matter, and every one of them you can catch right here at WFHR all season long. Encourage you to get your tickets at northwoodsleague.com. Otherwise, you can get tickets by calling 715-424-5400. That is going to get you right to the front office at the Rafters. 715-424-5400. Or just visit them the day of the game right at Winterfield. Get up to the box office and get yourself some tickets. Or you can call 424-2600 to win a pair right now.
No.
That's right, Randy. It's just that crazy around here. We're just giving rafter tickets away left and right.
Let me see those tickets.
Right here. We got four tickets right here for the rafters. Any game all season long, any home game you can get into. Call up right now, 424-2600. And our favorite thing to do around here, 90s baseball. Give us a 90s baseball name.
Really?
Just any player from the 90s.
Doesn't even have to be a Brewer like, yep, you know, Robin the Entree. Anything like that.
You can use those. Those count, but it could be any name.
Anybody.
The more obscure, the better, though. Ooh. I will say that. The more obscure, the better. You give us our the more obscure names, where we always get a kick out of those.
Don't go with Babe Ruth, though.
No. 424-2600 is the phone number. And as long as we're taking calls, I don't even mind our other caller calling back and telling me, how do you not want Shohei Ohtani? I'm sorry. I can't let go. I want to talk football. I got some other stuff, but I can't let go of that. How do you not want Shohei Ohtani? Who in the right mind doesn't want Shohei Ohtani? Callers are always right. We want to hear from you. 424-2600. Call up and win some rafter tickets as well right here on Playmakers. Brought to you proudly by Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out here at WFHR. Welcome back to Playmakers. Randy and James here with you at 3:45 on the clock. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. 424-2600. Call up and join the sports conversation. As we went to break, I was throwing out there the Ohtani thing about who wouldn't, you know, want Ohtani and all that. But in all seriousness, Randy and I were talking about it, and I found something interesting over the weekend happened with the Ohtani news. I believe the owner of the Colorado Rockies, he was asked in a press conference about Ohtani. And obviously the Rockies are not necessarily in the running for the playoffs, not, you know, let alone Ohtani, that he would want to go there as a free agent. So the idea of trading for him seems a little silly, that you would give up a lot for him. But his comment was interesting to me. Well, we're looking into it. It would be a rental, but it'd be a fun rental, or it'd be a fun couple months. And I started thinking about that, like, well, as crazy as that might sound, giving up draft prospects and free agents, or draft capital and all these different things. I said to Randy, well, it seemed to work out for Toronto with Kawhi Leonard. But you brought up a much better comp, I thought.
Well, you know, CeCe Sabathia, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at the excitement he brought to the Brewers. Look what he did for them in the postseason. Should have also had a no-hitter for them. They
right.
Just
yes.
Kind of a bad choice that time by the person who made the call on that, calling it a hit instead of an error. But, yeah, how could you not enjoy, you know, 4 months of that?
We're still talking about
right?
it.
Right?
I don't even know if anybody remembers exactly specifically what year it was, but I think most of us that got to see CeCe Sabathia do that for the Brewers in that whole situation, I will never forget it. They didn't even win the whole thing. They didn't even get to the World Series, let alone, and we still talk about it. So to me, if you're talking about, I liked CeCe Sabathia a lot. I was a big fan of his and still am. But there's a gigantic difference between Shohei Ohtani and CeCe Sabathia, what this guy brings to the table. I'm not talking about the opportunity to look at back at full perspective in their whole career. All you got is right now, and that's all I'm looking at. And right now, if I got 4 months, let's just put this out there. Let's say Milwaukee somehow, some crazy way, you wake up tomorrow and the Milwaukee Brewers traded for Shohei Ohtani, and they gave up this, this, and this. And it's crazy to think of. These are great young talents and all this. But the next 4 months, you have a player that we've never seen before. Never seen before. Nobody alive saw Babe Ruth play. And even if you did, you didn't see him doing this. You didn't see him hitting 480-foot bombs while throwing out 10 guys in a game and smiling while he's doing it. You didn't see any of this. So for 4 months, whatever you're telling me I'm giving up, whatever it is, I'm listening. I'm not saying I'm doing it, but I'm at least listening. And man, that sounds tempting to me. 424-2600. Would you be tempted by that? You also have the idea of, well, you got him in the clubhouse. You got a chance to re-sign him. I mean, you had no chance if you didn't get trade for him. If you're Milwaukee, if you're Colorado, if you're one of these type of teams. But if you get him into the clubhouse, your odds go up a little bit more. I'm not saying you guarantee anything. There's no guarantees in life, let alone sports. But I got to think that you got to be tempted by this, right? Tell me if you are. 424-2600.
I think CeCe Sabathia, they had a whole half-hour program on his time in Milwaukee. And it was looking back, when was that? Maybe 06, 08, somewhere around there that he was with us. And he, at the time, he loved it here.
Yeah,
you know? He just, now, is he saying that because he's on the show? Maybe. But he seemed genuine about it because, you know, he's looking back at something that happened over 10 years ago. And he talked about how exciting the time was and talked about that one hitter that he had and how people were so appreciative. And, you know, money is hard. It's, we don't know. We've never been offered millions of dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got to be hard to say no to. But, well, I'll tell you what, it sure sounded like he was sitting there right on the edge.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But when
I heard that.
Yeah, the Yankees offered just that many more millions. It was just hard for him to say no. Plus, you think about it, he's going to be in this big market right now, right, and showcase his talents in New York even further. And he came from, you know, Cleveland. So I think he just wanted to prove to himself he could do it in the big market as well. So I think that played a part of it as well. But you're right. You put him in your clubhouse, and, you know, there was just something they were talking about, the possibility of a couple of people not coming back in the future here. And one of them is Craig Counsell. You know, he's talking about, you know, his son's graduating and is going to go on and wants to watch his kids play sports, and he's put 10 years into the Brewers already. And the article that was so interesting was just all the players are just like, you can sit down and talk to him at any time.
Mm-hmm.
They just said everybody just enjoys him in the locker room. They enjoy playing for him. People are just, you hear him raving on television about the moves that he makes. Again, you got Owen Miller, right? He's your cleanup hitter, and you are leading the division, right?
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, I'll tell you what, it's always an interesting thing to talk about.
He, I know a lot of people might not like this, but you're going to bear with me here. He, to me, reminds me a little bit of Lovie Smith in this way.
Hmm.
Like, almost every Bear fan misses Lovie Smith. I mean, yeah, he didn't win you the whole darn thing, but man, you were always competitive. He was he always gave you good press conferences for the most part, was reliable, consistent. A lot of the things that I think you look for in a head coach or something. I really think that people are going to be this way about Craig Counsell someday. If they don't appreciate him right now, which I'm not saying they don't, but the people that don't or that think the grass is greener on the other side kind of thing, you're going to be looking at it and like, we wish we had him again. And you never know, because it's very similar to what I said about the Northwestern situation, too. What happens if you bring in a whole new coaching staff and a new test and, well, wait a minute. Oh, we had bats all along. We just needed new coaching or different coaching or something. It's rarely in sports is it a matter of this guy is better than this guy at this job. It's this guy speaks better to others or is better at relaying this information than others are. Craig Counsell seems like he's been one of the best at it. At his job for a very long period of time.
Yeah, what is he, the second longest tenured manager, I believe, in MLB right now?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's been there 10 years.
Special honor last week for Drew and Lauren Holiday, the Milwaukee Bucks point guard and National Soccer Hall of Famer, received the Muhammad Ali Sports Humanitarian of the Year Award at the ESPYs. The couple received the honor for starting their foundation for the JLH Social Impact Fund. I thought that was noteworthy. I know these are kind of things, especially in the summer, get lost in the shuffle. I don't know how many people heard that. I thought it was pretty cool. I just wanted to throw that out there. A shout out to Drew and his wonderful wife. That's pretty cool. Good on them.
And speaking of the Bucks, I think they just wrapped up their preseason now, and they went 2-3, but their second round draft pick, Chris Livingston,
Ooh.
I think he had a nice game the other
day.
Yeah, 22
that kid looks
points.
Good.
They lost to the Sacramento by 8, I believe it was, but 22 points, that's not bad.
According to a lot of experts, Milwaukee got the steal in the draft, not in the draft, in Drew Timmy.
Yeah.
Them locking him up and everything is going to play dividends for them. I was talking to my brother this weekend. He's going to join us in October when we get closer to the G League kicking off and everything. Nick will be on the show again. We're excited about going to some games. Like, I'm going to go to some games this year in the G League, and I'm hoping to see Drew Timmy in these games. I'm hoping to see some of these kids, the Livingston and some of this. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun season of basketball.
Yeah, the Bucks are going to have a nice team, I think.
424-2600. Still got a handful of minutes left of the show. We'd love to hear from you. While we're talking, Randy, I did want to mention the Pro Football Hall of Fame's finalists. They may announce their 2024 semifinalists and the seniors and coaches and contributors categories. Some interesting names on the list, but as long as I've already gone all in today, I might as well go a little bit more in and mention Virginia McCaskey of the Chicago Bears.
Who's that?
Yeah, she is wonderful, Randy. You'd love her.
She is.
No. She's the last part of that ownership that we like. Like anybody, not whether you are a non-Bears fan or non-football fan or whatever.
Do you know off the top of your head when they took over?
I'm glad you asked that. So that's the only reason I bring this up is because I did want to mention her credentials just because I think it's cool. And it's one of the last times we may get to say this about somebody in sports in general or anything. McCaskey turned 100 on January 5th and became the principal owner of the Chicago Bears back in 1983 upon the passing of her father, Hall of Famer Papa Bear George Halas. Kraft. She took over in 83.
Okay.
And has been not only, I think, arguably the face of that franchise in many ways to Bear fans, to those of us that know the ins and outs of the team and everything, but she's also been, I don't know, for my whole lifetime, whether it's my family or talking heads in the Tribune or anything else, it's Bear, blah, 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 talking trash about Bears management, except for Virginia. It was always that. And I've never heard that about another sports team, another franchise. It isn't as if we say, yeah, those darn Dallas Cowboys, except Jerry Jones. No, nobody does that. I just find it interesting, and I think that that's kind of cool. And one of the last times that we may get to have something like that, where not just about an owner, but an owner this long in the game. And I think her life is fascinating.
Well, you know, when you're old, and you say 1983, that doesn't sound that long ago.
Right.
But if you suddenly do the math and subtract and borrow, it's 40 years. My goodness.
That's incredible.
That is crazy.
Some big names on the list, like Ken Anderson and Roger Craig.
Does it list the team that they played mainly for? Because that would be fun, right? Ken Anderson of the Bengals, Roger Craig, of course, the 49ers.
Yeah, yeah. Billy Whiteshoes Johnson is on this
Houston,
list.
Houston, right? The Oilers?
Yeah. George Kuntz.
Oh, Packers.
Clay Matthews Jr.
Packers.
Yeah. Sterling Sharp.
Packers.
Steve Tasker.
Don't tell me. Golly, I can see him. Bills.
Nice. Nicely done. Right. Nice. Wait. We got to make it official. There we go. Now it's official. Now
yeah. He was all pro as a special teams guy, besides a wide receiver.
I think the Football Hall of Fame has to get over itself a little bit. Once you let, and this is, again, a Chicagoan saying this, once you let Gale Sayers in, you got to loosen up the rules a little bit here. Sterling Sharp belongs in the Hall of Fame. Tell me this. Watch Sterling Sharp. And I'm not even saying, you can go ahead and watch his highlight reel, but watch just a game. Watch a game that Sterling Sharp played in and tell me that's not one of the better wide receivers you've ever seen pound for pound. Not only his intelligence and the smart feet, the great hands that you could rely on, but the fearlessness that man had, that he was so fearless that it shortened his dang career. That and Brett Favre not knowing how to connect in the numbers. He belongs in the Hall of Fame. Again, a Chicagoan saying this. Like, it is... one of my friends brought this up in one of those late, you know, midnight conversations, and you're talking about these things with your fellow sports fans about there being different tiers to a Hall of Fame, and I didn't mind it, but it rubbed me the wrong a little bit. But if it takes that to get these guys in where they deserve this, I believe Sterling Sharp's in the Packer Hall of Fame. I'm not 100% about that, but I believe he is. That's fantastic. That's wonderful. I don't take that lightly at all. But I don't think that anybody puts the Pro Football Hall of Fame in a particular team's Hall of Fame, like the Bears or the Packers or the Lions Hall of Fames or anything, in the same echelon.
Right. The Hall of Fame is just a little bit below the Packer Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Nicely done. You know, you think about Sterling Sharp and how great he was and how tough he was. The very first game where Favre comes in because Mikowski gets hurt, they come back, they're down to Cincinnati 17-3, and they rally and they get that last touch. But on that final drive, they started at like their 10-yard line. Mm-hmm. He throws this long pass down to Sterling Sharp down the right sideline, and he is hurting. I mean, his ribs were hurting already, and he made that catch. And I think he even made one more, and he had to leave because he just couldn't take anymore. And that's why they ended up throwing that all-go route, and Kittrick Taylor is the one who makes the touchdown catch because Sterling Sharp is hurting, but he played through it to make two incredible catches on that drive.
I will never forget that game. I remember those two. I was just about to say, yeah, he did make one more catch after that one too.
And that was it, yeah.
And you can, and they, I'll never forget on the, I believe on the one of the two, when they showed the replay, it's the camera's in there enough, even without the high def that we have nowadays, you could see him grimacing. You could see it.
Way up. You know, it was like about a 35-yard reception, and it just had to hurt for him to reach that high with the ribs.
It's going to be interesting to see who gets in and who doesn't when it comes to this, as it is every year. We'll be finding out more as close as we get closer to August and the pro, Hall of Fame game and all that. Interested about that. And interested to see how this summer is going to wrap up baseball-wise, whether we're talking Brewers or we're talking Rafters, as long as we're not talking White Sox. I'm fine, as long as we're not talking about them.
Next week, we'll probably have to talk a little bit golf because it'll be the British Open next week.
Yeah.
And kudos out to Steve Stricker. You know, he just didn't quite get it on Sunday at the PGA at Century, but he got it this week again. And I think he tied Hill Irwin now for the second most wins, just one now behind Bernard Langer. And Jerry Kelly got 10th this week. So Stricker's made over, I think it was over $3.5 million.
I saw that the other day. That's incredible. Yeah.
And such a great guy, too.
I already rooted for these guys, but especially guys like him and that stayed with the PGA. I found myself becoming even more of a golf fan because of that.
People like him, yeah.
Yeah,
good stories.
We appreciate all the calls today. Thank you so much. And we'll keep a lot of these questions we had today. I want to know next week if you're still if you're a buyer or seller with the Brewers. What would you do if you would trade for Ohtani for even a rental? Would you do it? And plenty of other questions that you have in your head. Write them down as you're thinking about them and bring them to us on the show.
And Djokovic losing in Wimbledon.
Didn't even get to talk about that. Yeah, that Carlos kid is exciting to watch.
We just need more time.
Randy, thank you. Yes, we do. Yeah, Randy, thank you for the time. We'll talk to you next week right here on Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing on
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.